Hey, this is Sandy.
And Randy.
And we're here on AT Corner.
Being an athlete trainer comes with ups and downs, and we're here to showcase it all.
Join us as we share our world in sports medicine.
Welcome back to another episode of AT Corner. To keep National Athletic Training Month rolling, we have our first story episode of the month of March.
And today we are talking about what is the weirdest way one of your athletes has gotten hurt.
This is going to be a good one. I can already tell.
I feel like I've been saying this a lot, but honestly, I think we got like a record-breaking number of stories for this episode.
Yes! Yes! That's exciting.
I feel like it's something that every athletic trainer can relate to. Like, they walk in and they're like, so, this is how I got hurt.
Oh, yeah. Or they try not to say it that way.
Right.
And they just come off as with that guilty look.
So we do have the weirdest way one of your athletes or patients got hurt. We are going to be talking about also ways that people have lied to you about how they've gotten hurt, because we know that happens. And then we also have you ever had someone get injured and end up being something completely different than what you were expecting? Or did you ever have someone who looked like they got injured and they were completely unscathed?
I mean, I feel like that happens with like
kids.
Well, definitely kids. But also, like, you know, there's like those hits every now and then that you're like, oh, dude, that was a bad hit. Like, for sure. They've got to have concussion symptoms. Uh-huh. Like, no way. Uh-huh. And then you go up to them, see if they're okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
And then literally after the game, yeah, I'm good. And then there's always the ones that like barely were tapped and like not look good. So,
right.
Yeah. We've seen those before.
Also, I know we're going to get into this, but the Instagram polls that I put up, the most one-sided polls that I have ever put up ever. And not just one of them. Like, legitimately, I think the one that was like the most least one-sided was 97% to 3%. Oh, like, so literally, we have like...
So is this data skewed?
Yes. Like, it's literally everyone is in agreement on all of these things.
That's pretty funny.
So the very first one, actually the very first one wasn't a poll, it was a question box.
All right.
What was one of the weirdest ways that your athletes got hurt? Do you have one to kick us off?
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember if I've said this one before, but I've had an athlete chased by a coyote.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was a weird one for me. That was new. Like, when I first heard about it, because, like, it was in the evening, so I got a call saying this person was, like, chased. Well, first I was told it was attacked by a coyote.
That's scary.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, I mean, are we fine? Are we in the ER?
Like, did we call 911?
Do we have rabies right now?
Right.
So she ended up being okay. Mm-hmm, like, I think she just... I don't even know if she got bit. I think she just maybe got a scratch. I think it was more like she was just chased.
Dude.
So I
feel like coyotes are usually scared of humans.
Are scared of people. Yeah. Right. So apparently how this story goes, because I got the full story from her. Now, naturally, as a track athlete, because this only happens to track athletes.
We do have some track stories.
I told you. I told you. If it's a weird injury, it's happening to a track athlete. So apparently, like, where she was living, there was like a parking garage, and like she was walking, and like someone was like another car was driving, trying to get her attention. But obviously, it's at night,
right?
You're not gonna like just right? You're gonna kind of keep going,
right? Oh, and this makes it different that it's at night.
Yeah, and apparently they were trying to warn her that there was a coyote ahead. The coyote saw her. And she took off running. The coyote then started chasing her.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. So then she had to, like, jump on top of, I think it was where, like, you know how they have, like the dumpsters. Sometimes there's, like, an overhang to, like, a roof to kind of cover them. Mm-hmm. She had to literally jump on top of that to get away from the coyote.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All in all, she was fine. But that was a new one.
Seriously.
I mean... If there's anybody who's going to outrun the coyote, I mean, it's a track athlete.
You're like, thank you, adrenaline. You're like, next time you're racing, just pretend a coyote's chasing you, right? We actually do have
a coyote.
No, we have one, two. We have three animal, like livestock farm animal stories.
Okay, I can kind of see that, like for like the rural.
Right, that's
like, I could see that
right
happening.
I feel like we should just jump right into those.
All right.
I'll start with this one from Chris P. He said, I had a wrestler who broke his collarbone by being run over by a cow.
See, the noise was perfect too.
We found out through his physical. He lived on a farm and got bored. So they went to go mess with the cows and, well, the cows fought back, LOL. It's definitely one of my funniest things I've come across.
They probably tried to tip the cow, huh? I feel like that's what happened.
Also, yes, Randy, I can always count on you for side effects.
Yes, 100%. That's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably have to double take. Wait, what?
I had an athlete who broke his collarbone, not from a cow, but he was getting up to go to the roof.
Uh-huh.
And the ladder fell.
Oh, that sucks.
He fell, and then the ladder fell on top of him. So the ladder insult broke his collarbone. Yeah.
Yep. Love that. Or I guess injury to insult. I guess at that point. Interesting.
Seriously.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. You want to read this next one from Zoe H?
Yes. This one's by Zoe H. One of my baseball guys was bull riding over the weekend and got stepped on by a bull. Not sport related whatsoever. Nothing crazy happened, fortunately. He ended up with a large contusion on high hammy / glute.
Dude, lucky.
I know, seriously. It limited him for about a week due to the fact that it was a pretty deep tissue contusion. And yes, we did have a talk about making smart decisions during season.
That's like always when my athletes get tattoos during season. Oh, I'm like, my gosh. I'm all about tattoos, but... Yeah. Why did you decide to do this while you're out in the sun and while you're sweating and while you're literally being an athlete?
Yeah. So my favorite was I had a distance runner. It was the week of conference. And I think it was like earlier in the week, she comes in and is like, oh yeah, I'm getting my wisdom teeth out this week. I'm like, wait, what? And she was like, yeah, like, I think the surgery date was going to be for like a day, maybe like 2 or 3 days
mm-hmm.
before the conference meet.
Oh my gosh.
And I looked at her, I'm like, you need to reschedule that.
Right.
She's like, why? I'm like, you're not going to be able to run. What? Yeah. You're not going to be able to eat.
Right.
That's going to be a bit of a problem.
Right.
Also, like, you're going to still be tender. So mm-hmm. it's not like breathing heavily and like running is going to feel fantastic.
Dude, what would these kids do without us?
I know. And
happy National Athletic Training Month.
She did tell me, I made it for the week after. I'm like, good job. Okay,
great.
Thank you.
This one's about pigs. This is our last animal story. There you go.
There we go. We're hitting all the range today.
This is from Savannah B. She said, one of my middle school volleyball athletes tripped over a fence to get to her pig who is having piglets.
Aww.
Once she realized it was nothing more than a small bruise on her shin, she was completely fine.
Poor thing. That sucks. But piglets. I hope she brought in some of the piglets.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, come on. It's piglets.
They are super cute.
That's cute.
They are super, I mean, I would probably trip over a fence too.
For the pigs. Even pigs.
And pigs. You want to read this next one?
Yes, this one's by Anonymous. Professional hockey player sprained his LCL in his knee doing a pigeon stretch pregame. That's brutal. Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, I could not believe this. I was like, excuse me, what? How?
Well, no, this is my favorite part right here is the question. I think he was just forcing it. Probably, actually. I could probably see an athlete. Well, I don't really feel it, so I'm going to really push into it.
Like, this is a real big game. Just like, ugh.
Or like, hey, I feel it, but if I push more, I'll feel it
more. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
More is better.
Mm-hmm.
He does that position all the time. It was probably a high grade one. No major laxity, but he felt a bit of a pop.
Dude.
Very painful with varus stress testing. We were on the road and I ended up having the doctor that was covering check him out as we weren't going to be back home for a couple days. Pretty simple confirmation evaluation. I think he ended up missing about 2 weeks.
Dude.
He was a super high draft pick, but got buried in the minor leagues. It was still a fun call to make to his affiliate organization.
Yep.
I bet. So how'd he get hurt? What? Well.
So, you've had your athlete. I've had a couple athletes who've gotten hurt before the game. Have you had that before?
That's a good question, actually.
Actually, I feel like I have at least one a year.
You know what? I've had blood before.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to remember what the context was, because I remember someone came up bleeding, and mm-hmm. I was like, "Bro, it's pregame. Like, how are you bleeding right now? Man, what was that? I can't remember."
I had someone tear their ACL before the game. I had someone tear their meniscus before the game. So the first one was a women's basketball player. The second one was a...
Oh, that's sad.
Yes. It was a visiting team. The second one was a football player meniscus tear before the game.
Uh-huh.
Lineman. Just stepped weird. Like, literally.
Mm.
And then... What else have I had before the game?
Definitely
blood and stuff.
Yeah, I think it was a finger. I think it was during like their warm-ups, and like he went to dunk, and I think he cut his hand on the rim. I think that's what happened.
We have a couple of finger stories.
See? Well, I guess if something weird's going to happen, it'll probably be to the fingers.
This one is non-game related. This one was after a practice, I think.
Okay. Oh man, couldn't the tail end of practice.
I know.
Those are the worst ones.
I know. You're like getting ready to go home and you're like, no.
No.
Or they're like, if you just would have finished practice 5 minutes earlier.
I know, seriously, this wouldn't have happened.
So Emerald F says, I had an athlete heel click, and when he landed, he sustained a tib fib fracture.
Heel click. Dang.
The team was wrapping up a drill practice. The guys were belting out some song. I can't for the life of me remember it now. The athlete comes running off the field, singing with everything he has. He jumps, he heel clicks, lands, and cries out in pain.
Oh, no.
The whole team went silent as I ran over. One of the guys just looks at me just pale and said, "It shouldn't look like that, Emerald."
Oh, love that.
He definitely wasn't wrong. The lower leg was bent at almost 90 degrees, foot nice. Upwards toward the other knee.
Nice.
We got paramedics on site to transport him for what ended up being immediate surgery. His mom was in town to visit already, so that was great. The song had been removed and banned from every playlist my lacrosse team has. Also, it happened to be on my birthday last weekend, haha, but he was out supporting the team Tuesday for their home game.
Nice. That's so unfortunate.
Seriously.
That is a very weird way to get hurt.
Also, like, a celebratory. You know, actually, yeah. We talked about this before. Like, celebration injuries.
Yeah.
Happens more often than you think.
I had men's basketball one time. I think a kid got concussed because they were wrestling in the locker room.
We also have some locker room stories.
Of course it's going to happen there. I was like, why? Why?
Why do you think they're wrestling
in
the locker
room? Why must we? Especially in season. Like, how dumb.
Haven't you wrestled in the locker room?
No.
Yes. I feel like I've heard stories of you wrestling in the locker room.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Maybe in the hallway.
In the hallway. Yeah. Yeah, there was one time when we were athletic training students, because we used to mess with each other a lot. And there was one time I would... I wasn't having it one day, and one of my now colleagues, my fam, tried to mess with me. And yeah, we took our wrestling a little seriously that day. That was pretty funny. But we weren't in season, so it was fine.
You're always in season as an athletic trainer. What are you talking about? Oh, you know what? Going back to the locker room.
Uh-huh.
I know we have more locker room stories coming up, but I had before I forget this, I had an athlete who got injured because he was being thrown in the laundry bin in the locker room by a bunch of other guys.
Nice.
I was like, guys, I thought this only happens in movies.
You know what? Speaking of just athlete training student stuff, we should have an episode on injured as an athlete training student.
We've had one injured as an athletic trainer.
Yeah. But I mean, athletic training students, I feel like, are in a more prone position.
I feel like Megan, our precision AT and Mass General Brigham partner, I feel like she takes the cake with breaking her ankle.
Yes.
From a, what was it, a cooler?
Yeah.
In a cart?
Yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Okay, I can literally not wait for this next story because I have literally been waiting all week to tell you the story because I cannot believe it. It's insane and it makes me laugh so hard.
Okay.
So you get to read it.
Oh, I get to read it?
Uh-huh.
All right, this one's by Jackie M. At an extreme sports camp, a staff member got distracted by a camper in the equipment cage and got the air compressor stuck in his hand.
Like in his hand. While it was on.
Wait. Okay. While it was on. It put air into his hand like a balloon. Wait a minute. No, wait, how did it get stuck in his hand? Okay. When he pulled the needle out, the blood closed the hole, so the air couldn't get back out. You could push on the dorsal aspect of the hand and watch the air go into the fingers. And then push on the fingers and watch the air go back to the dorsal hand. We did first aid and wound care, then sent him to the ER, but they didn't do anything. Turns out the air will just naturally diffuse out of your body. He was in pain, but the hand was still fully functional. I think it went back to normal after a couple days. We were worried the air might cause a heart attack / emergency. That's why we sent them. But I guess that's not the case.
Dude.
How'd it get stuck? Wait, like what happened?
They got distracted.
And just shoved the needle into their hand? Like, wait, what?
I have no idea, but that is just, I can just imagine. Like,
all of a sudden you have air.
Because you have so much extra space. Like, think about like,
yeah,
on the dorsal aspect of your hand.
I mean, how could you not just sit there and be like, just
play with it? I know. I would totally play with it. That's hilarious.
I mean, I get the fear because, like, obviously if there's an air bubble in, like your vessels, like your arteries or veins, like, that could be,
like,
very
dangerous. No, it's not. Not good.
So I could see that, like, oh, shoot, like, this probably can't be good. I'm surprised they didn't just, like, stick a needle to let the air
out. Just, like, psst.
Psst. And watch the little capillary bleeding go, psst. That is, I could see why that's pretty funny.
Dude, that's, I know. I've been waiting to tell you the story all week.
That's pretty funny. That has to take the cake as most unique.
Yes. I was not expecting this at all.
Yes, I would not expect air compressor stuck in someone's hand, no, blowing their hand up like, no, a balloon.
So this does remind me, though, I did have an equipment person. So we had our athletic training clinic across from our equipment room. One time we had the cow with the, tire was, it kept getting stupid little spikes in it when we would drive it over to the field, and somewhere along the way, there are like these little spiky things.
Yep.
And so the tires kept popping, and then we end up sliming the tires, and then, like, just, there were tire problems. Okay. And our equipment guy used to take care of them. And so we gave it to our equipment guy. He went and he was blowing up the tire. And the tire legit exploded, like, in his face.
I bet that was so loud.
Scary. Well, first of all, we heard it. I heard it and I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I'm sure that, like, being right there, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Probably dangerous. I feel like dangerous.
Yeah, he came over and he had blood all over his eyebrow. So luckily it didn't hit his eye or anything.
But yeah, true.
Holy crap. Damn. And I was like, are you okay? Like,
what the hell happened in there?
Seriously. I was like, is your hearing okay? Because that was loud from our office. So
what?
Bad. We do have a couple of
tire popping stories.
No, we do have an eye story, but I'm actually, you know what? I'm going to skip stories if we keep going out of order. So let's.
Yeah, maybe it's a good idea we don't.
Okay. This next one is our cool one from Kevin.
Dude, a cool one from Kevin. And here we go. We're throwing it back to a cool one with Kevin.
You want to read it?
No, I think you should read that one.
Okay, so weirdest MOI. Injured with the spinning stone wheel used for sharpening hockey skates.
Oh, I could only imagine.
She wasn't paying attention, shocking, and ran her knuckles over the spinning stone instead of the skate blade.
Love that.
Lots of blood, even more screaming. I was in the ATR, which was right down the hall. I heard the screaming as they were coming down the hall, so I met them partway at that point. Mm-hmm. It didn't go all the way down to the bone, just took a few layers of skin off. It took a while for the bleeding to stop, but it wasn't too bad considering it could have been a lot worse.
Definitely could have been a lot worse, because I'm sure those things get moving.
Dude. See, this is what happens if you're not paying attention.
I think
you can get a spinning stone injury. You can get an air compressor injury. You can get...
See, it goes back to just pay attention.
Yeah.
Just pay attention.
Mm-hmm. That's really easy to do.
Rule number one, just pay attention.
Could you imagine if just like they come in and you're like, dude, why aren't you paying attention?
Yeah.
There's that insult to injury again.
Yeah, there it is. Like, bro, are you serious? I mean, you can't do that when you're initially managing. Uh-uh. That once they calm down and everything's patched up, that's when you give them the... Bro, are you for real? You didn't? No, you didn't do that.
I feel like there are so... Honestly, when I think of weirdest MOIs, I think I have at least 3 stories to share from myself getting injured. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I think so.
I just got one.
Yes, I do. Oh, I know so.
I just got the stupidest injury. That so we were rock climbing and stop laughing. We were rock climbing and I made it across the wall and I'm going to now go up because it was like a route that goes like across and then up. And there's this big like ledge that you have to, it's called mantling, so you have to like get up and over it. And my foot was on a little tiny chip, which is like a tiny rock on the wall. And my foot slipped the first time and I was like, oh, like not thinking much of it, right? And then I go to push my hands down. So now my rib is above the ledge, mm-hmm. and my foot slips again. And I do everything I can to like keep myself on the wall, right? So I like lean over and I put my rib right on the ledge. And all of a sudden, all my weight is on my rib and I just hear a pop. And luckily, like, it didn't hurt that bad.
Yeah.
But, like, I heard and felt the pop. And I was like, oh, that can't be good.
This can't be good.
And I, like, look at my rib. And I look at my friend. And I was like, hey, I think I just, like, did something to my rib. That was really not good. Like, it that
destroyed my rib.
Yeah, I was like, this, like, it can't be broken. And I was, like, trying to breathe and trying to, like, palpate and trying to, like, figure out what the hell I just did to my rib. And I was like, okay, let me just, like... make my way down, figure out like what level this is and like is it bone or is it cartilage or is it like intercostal, like where am I reaching. Soon to realize that I have this giant deformity on my rib. It does not look like the other side. And yeah, I definitely did pop that rib right off the cartilage. So
yay,
we should put my x-ray in the Facebook group.
Good, we could do that.
Yeah, so that is a that's what I'm currently dealing with.
I don't know if I said this one. I know I did the one where we worked out in the athletic training room and I almost threw up and then they decided to put me on a stool and send me towards a wall. I know I did that story. But I don't know if I did the one when we were students and we were practicing equipment removal.
I was just thinking about this.
And my said fam colleague, that we had that wrestling match.
Keep in mind, this is like 10 p.m., right? This is like 10
p.m. This was late, yeah. This was into the evening that we were all practicing equipment removal.
This is like pre-Sander. I didn't know of him at this point.
This was, I think it was just the three of us. I think it was me and like two of my cohort.
Uh-huh.
And again, we're practicing equipment room, right? So I got the football helmet on,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know those pesky... clips for the face mask, right? Especially the push ones. Like if you don't have the tool, right? Yeah, you could do it without the tool, but you know, it sometimes gets a little pesky. So we got that off. But then there's the pads, like the pads on the inside, the cheek pads.
Uh-huh.
Again, those are really pesky. Those are really hard to kind of get off sometimes, especially because like in those ones that you can fill them with air. So they have a thing that actually goes to the outside of the helmet. So they're kind of locked in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as easy as just going in and like popping them out.
Right.
Like the ones that clip in.
Right.
And we decided it was a good idea to use the screwdriver to try and pop one of those out.
But like through the ear hole.
So basically with the screwdriver, as we're going through the process of trying to pop out one of those bad boys, you know, it doesn't pop out nicely. It's not like a boop. No, it's a very forceful, like boop. It goes like it's going out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that event, it went very fast, uncontrollably, into my ear canal. I felt sharp pain right away. And we were like, oh, uh-oh. I thought I could still hear. I blocked the other one and people were talking, so we still heard. So that was good. That was a good thing. And then I kind of checked inside the ear and, oh, yeah, it's bleeding.
Dude, so, you're so lucky that
it did 100%
not go
into like, the eardrum.
Yes.
So, you know, cleaning up the blood. And how we were able to be in the lab, just students, is maybe questionable. But at that time, our actual clinical coordinator, one of our professors, would always check the lab to make sure everyone's good. And like before he would leave for the evening, came in right at that exact moment. Yeah. Let's just say he wasn't exactly enthused to have to evaluate my ear. But I have to say I was honored because I was evaluated by our clinical coordinator. Yeah. Hey, good times.
That just reminds me of when I went to the you and I went to the ER for my foot.
Yeah.
And one of my athletes was there.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Who couldn't hear.
Oh yeah.
In one ear.
Yep, I remember that.
So we went to the ER because I got a bee sting on my way to class, which was normal. Like
I was very injury prone at school.
I was very injury prone. But I had I was just walking, and actually it was down a hallway, my favorite hallway, because it was outside. Trees on one side, bushes on the other. Like obviously it's gonna be full of bees. So just walking to class one day, got stung in the calf, whatever. And that was my first time. Whatever. I think that was my first time being stung by a bee. So it was like whatever. And then like literally, it was probably a couple months later, walking down the same hallway. And I get stung by a bee again, just walking, like literally not doing anything, but it got stuck in my sandal. And then I ended up having like, well, I had a red line coming up from the bee sting. My foot got so swollen and there was like a red thick line going like up my vein. And so I called like this nurse hotline and I was like, hey, is this supposed to happen? They're like, you need to go to the ER like right away. You cannot go to sleep. So I did that. By the way, that was like 30 minutes in and out of the ER. Fastest ER trip we've ever had.
We weren't even in a room.
No, they put me in the hallway. They gave me this red allergy.
They put you on a gurney bracelet. In the hallway.
They put me in a gurney, yes. It was the fastest ER trip ever. They took care of me.
It was also the weirdest because we were in a hallway on just a gurney, just sitting there.
It was kind of weird.
That was very interesting.
Yes. But yeah, my athlete just, I was like, hey, what's wrong with him? Like, what are you doing here? And he was like, oh, I can't hear out of my ear.
Oh, yeah, that seems problematic.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, this next one's from Shelby C.
Speaking of hallways.
Yes. Hey, look at that segue. She goes, one of my athletes was walking down the hallway of a hotel that had wood planks on the walls. He was running on the dorsal. He was running the dorsal aspect of his hand along the wood.
Why? Why?
You do that. I do that. I do that at Disneyland. I'm scared to actually have this happen at Disneyland.
I don't think I do that.
You don't?
I don't think I do.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe this won't happen to you then. At one of the breaks in the planks, he caught the edge of it and jammed that chunk under his nail.
Oh, shoot.
We were on the way to practice, and he showed me as we were getting on the bus. Yes, I was the one who had to fish out the pieces. I was cringing the whole time. Athlete was surprisingly chill about the whole thing. Thankfully, we were some of the first people out there, so I could do it before the bus moved. Could you imagine?
Oh, seriously.
I just alcohol wiped some tweezers, told him, this is probably going to suck, and then tried to
good
be
good heads up.
As gentle as I could. I was trying to grip the sides of the piece and not the top and bottom because I couldn't bring myself to go top and bottom with sharp tweezers.
Yeah.
But it was a bit too wide. I got the first piece out, the smaller one, which took a bit, and then the bigger one came out easier because I could grip it better. It bled a decent amount, but we were able to tape the nail bed up to the nail to help compress it. He said once the chunk was out was actually when it started to hurt. He never lost the nail, if you can believe it. I told him it was for sure going to fall off. He graduated already, but I saw him at an away trip, and he told me that his nail now grows funny.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was definitely not what I was expected to see walking out to the bus. Or pretty much, you know, ever in my career. And here, I'm going to show Randy. These are the, what she had to take out of the
size.
Nail. That's, yeah.
Love that.
Giant. Like, how did he get that in his nail?
Those are big chunks.
I know. Really big chunks.
These kids. The things they do.
So we actually have this picture and she got permission that we can actually put it in our Facebook group. Nice. So if you guys are interested in seeing these giant chunks that she had to pry out
big
of this nail bed, facebook.com/group/A2Corner Podcast. There's one question to get in. It's where do you hear about our podcast? It will automatically let you in and then you can see these cool pictures. Or you could add your own.
Yeah, it's true, actually, yeah.
Actually, so this also reminds me of another one of my own injury stories when I, we bought a house a little over a year ago, and in this house, we have a, like, the garage had this, like, from one of the previous owners had a really weird, like
a Dahmer closet.
Yeah, it was like a soundproof, not like, yeah, it was weird. It took up like half the garage.
It was really weird.
Soundproof, like the door closed and you couldn't open it again. Like, yeah, we were scared to go in. So we sledgehammered it and like took it down carefully, except that
somewhat carefully.
somewhat carefully. So we were tearing it down. It was literally January 1st, like, of not this year, like last year, I think. And I was like, man, this is like, we have to be really careful because what a way to start the year if we like get injured, right?
Yeah.
So we finally pull down the walls down to the studs, and then we are like the studs are being connected by nails. And so in order to get those apart, like we're just sledgehammering, not to break the studs, but like just to get them apart, like,
yeah,
get the nails apart. So then we could take the studs out carefully. So, and like this place also had like, there was a garage fire and some other stuff. So like we were like masked up and we had like our goggles and like everything. And I also had, so like the goggles that I had, I don't know why I had these goggles, but they literally were like top and bottom, like literally like the ones you wear in like chemistry, like not ones you wear for like demolition.
Yeah.
So, and because I was wearing the mask and those, like they were just fogging up. And I was like, I'm not really comfortable with like swinging a sledgehammer and fogging up my goggles because I can't really see, right? So then instead what I decided to do was I was like, well, I'll just wear my regular like glasses because that's like a shield in front of my eyes, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
right?
Works for me.
I know that it doesn't shield from like top and bottom, but like it will be fine for what I'm doing, right? Or so I thought. So very literally the very next like hit, I like take the sledgehammer and I hit the stud, and this little tiny piece of wood, I gotta find a picture. This little tiny piece of wood,
here we have one,
shoots into my eye. And at the time I had no idea. Like, I obviously it hurt. So then immediately, like, I like take off my mask. I like go straight inside and you I was like,
it.
I was like, Randy, like grab the contact solution. Like we're going to flush this eye. So then I'm like standing with like Randy's flushing out my eye and there is like nothing coming out.
When I looked at it, I couldn't see it.
We looked above my eye. We looked below my eye. Like you could not see anything. And like, it was not feeling better. And I was like, I've had so many corneal abrasions, like stupid amount of corneal abrasions. Like I know what corneal abrasions feel like. Like this felt like, it kind of felt like that, but it also felt like it would be fine. But then all of a sudden it'd be like super sharp and I couldn't move my eyelid or move my eye like at all. And so then I was like, this is so weird. Like, I don't know. So then we kind of got it to a point that I was like, you know what? It's probably just corneal abrasion. Like I'm just, it's fine. Like I know they suck. So I'm just gonna like, it'll be fine. And then, so we just went back to work. We were like doing all whatever. We finished up the job, mm-hmm. went to bed, woke up. And like sometimes the next day, like after you sleep for a while, you wake up and it still hurts. And you're like, oh man, this is like an actual corneal abrasion, right? Well, like
I woke. Dang, the reality setting in.
Right, right. Woke up and like, it didn't hurt. And I was like, oh, that's weird. So then I did it again. Or like I was just like going through the day and then all of a sudden like it did it again where like my eye was like super sharp. I couldn't like move it at all. It would get super teary, like super teary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is going on? I do not understand. This happened for probably what, 3 days?
Yeah. Something like that.
And it was over the weekend. So then I had, and the holiday. So then our eye doctor wasn't open. So then I called our eye doctor and I was like, dude, like, can you look at my eye? There's something wrong. So then I went into the eye doctor and they like looked at it. They got me in like same day. They looked at it and they were like, okay, there's like, not like we see like corneal abrasion. Yeah. But like, you know, just do these steps, you know, you're doing all the right things. And then I go home, I take a shower and in the shower, a wood chunk comes out of my eye. Literally. In the shower, like, comes out of my eye.
It was a good chunk, too.
It was a big chunk. Mm-hmm. Like, probably a couple millimeters.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a big chunk.
A big chunk.
I do not know how that stayed in my eye for multiple days. And how it did not cut my eye.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was cutting it.
It was abrasing it.
Yeah, it was.
Crazy. But here's the thing is, like, I've also had... And I've shared this on our, if you scroll way back in our, on our Instagram, I did share a corneal abrasion, like, we did like a case study, like on me because I had, at softball, I got some dirt like in my eye and like it was under my contact and I rubbed it, stupid. And then it embedded itself in my eye. So then I had to go to urgent care and get like the fluorescein dye and then like the everything. So you can actually, our doctor was like super awesome. He let me film the whole thing. So we did put that on our Instagram. I will put a little caveat on there that like, I have a really bad, like visceral response to water. Like all, I like, hyperventilate when like water comes in my face, just cause of like a past, like, boogie boarding thing. But basically you can see the whole process. Like it doesn't hurt at all, but like I do like every time he flushes my eye, I'm like,
yeah,
it doesn't hurt, but you can see the whole process is on our Instagram. It's pretty cool. But, I mean, now that it's like my eye doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
But I shared that whole story on there. So yeah, lots of fun eye.
Yeah. You do have a lot of fun eye stuff.
Yeah. See, weird, weird.
Yeah. Weird. It's because you didn't, like, close your eyes real fast.
Honestly, if it wasn't me, I wouldn't have believed that, like, whoever was like, oh, yeah, I had some wood stuck in my eye for a couple days.
What?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have believed that. Except that it literally came out of my eye.
Yeah, but it's because you didn't close real fast.
Yeah. our next story is about an eye, actually.
Oh, perfect. This one's by Adrian G. I had an athlete take a ricocheted volleyball pass to the eye. She lost peripheral vision, but it came back, though blurry. We were traveling, so we saw the home team sports med doc. Doc gave the green light for her to continue play, but recommended she follow up with optometry / ophthalmology if no improvement after the weekend. It didn't. She had a retinal contusion and had to wear goggles to protect from blunt force for the rest of the season. Once her contusion cleared, they found she had a hole in her retina, so she had to get it lasered.
Dude, a hole in her retina from getting hit in the eye from a volleyball.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, was the hole there already and the contusion,
that's a good question.
Because they were looking into the contusion, they found it? Or that's interesting.
That's a good question.
And also, a retinal contusion. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Weird, right?
That's a good differential to have. That's interesting.
So she also submitted another story, and this one's a pole vaulting one.
Okay. Oh, well, perfect. Not weird per se, but not common. Had a male pole vaulter go through practice jumps and didn't push the pole far enough away from himself. Oh, no. There's problems when this happens. He landed on it with his crotch. Thumbs up for that
one. Isn't the most perfect spot to land?
Essentially, he made a T with himself and the pole.
Yep.
Luckily, he had compression shorts on, which helped. One of the other athletes ran into my colleague and was like, so-and-so is bleeding from his D. Oh, even better. That's great. We applied pressure, but didn't remove anything, and called EMS. He ended up with a ruptured scrotum and a trauma referral.
Dude.
That sucks. I'm very sure that didn't feel good at all.
No.
I'm sure that hurt the entire time.
How did he not pass out?
I would have. I would have. 100% would have passed out.
Now they use it for AT students.
Like, oh, 100%. That's
like great. That whole story and like all the everything.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
That's a great case study for AT students to do.
Right. I mean, it could happen. It already did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. We have another.
First of all, if I had athletes running to me telling me someone's bleeding from there, there's a lot of big concerns.
Right.
A lot of big concerns that come from that one.
Right. And it's not like, you know how like you can have the athlete hold pressure? Like they don't have any strength right now to hold pressure.
But I mean, I feel like if that got hit, right, your hands are probably already going there. So like, you're already kind of curled up.
Oh yeah, but they're not going to be able to apply pressure.
Nope, they're just hold that there. Just you place that there and just hold it there as best you can. Good job. You're doing great, buddy.
Ambulance is on the way. Pole vault. We got another one.
Oh, love that. This one's a gem from Jen. Track was... that's where all you have to say. Track was.
Yep.
That's all you got to say.
No, you just have to say track.
Yeah. Track was practicing inside as they are going to want to do here in upstate New York in the winter. We have a couple of kids every year that pole vault. I get a call to come down to the field house because we have an injured pole vaulter. I figured, okay, maybe the pole snapped. He landed wrong. All the things that could go wrong with pole vaulting.
Like,
yes.
You know, maybe a ruptured scrotum.
Yeah. Well, pole snapping's already scary. First of all, it is the most hideous noise at a track meet to hear. Anytime you hear that thing snap, you're like, oh no, is everyone okay?
Right.
Jen continues with, I'm panicking a little because I hate pole vaulting and I hate how dangerous it is. I get there and the kid is bleeding profusely from his nose. I said, what happened? Did you hit your face on the way down? Did you hit the pole? What happened? The kid answers, no, coach told me really to drive my legs up. So I did. But then I also bent forward and kneed myself in the face. The kid broke his own nose trying to pole vault. You know what? That actually is probably the most track thing I've ever heard.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is the most relatable track thing that I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, it's 100%, like, I can't even have a response because I feel like, yeah, that's 100% believable. Like, I could, I had a track athlete sprain their ankle tying their shoes.
How?
I still can't figure it out. And it was the one he was tying. And he sprained his ankle. So this story.
Are you sure that they were not lying to you?
Okay, first of all, why is that your lie? That is not much of a better lie. Yeah, I was tying my shoes. Excuse me? Almost anything's a better lie than that one. That tracks. That really tracks. Get it, tracks. No, but that, yeah, I could definitely. I feel like I could have that conversation. Like, yeah.
So this next one's not a track.
Okay.
One, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
However, it is another gem from Jen.
Okay.
My 6'7" baseball player / hockey goalie comes into the athletic training room and says, Jen, I can't move my neck.
Love that.
I can't turn my head. Okay, what's wrong? How did this happen? He says, I was bowling and I was trying to impress this girl and I looked over at her as I was bowling and then I couldn't move my neck.
There you go.
Jen says, there you go. Neck injury due to impressing girl. He wasn't even with her. He was with his friends, but saw her a couple lanes over.
Even better. Yeah. I mean, it just, yeah. All you had to do was hit that mechanism and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, that's usually when you're trying to impress, that's where a lot of bad decisions can happen.
Yeah. Put your own neck in jeopardy.
Yep.
And I bet you she didn't even notice.
Nope. Probably wasn't even looking at him. Probably looked in that direction, but wasn't even paying attention.
No, that's when you go, was it worth it?
No, it doesn't sound like it was. It does not sound like it was.
Okay, but this next one's literally insane.
Okay. This one's by Callie H. Fell through the first floor of a house. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That was in the question box, and I was like, please, I need to know more about this. Like,
need more on this one. There was a massive house party over the weekend 2 years ago. They maxed out the occupancy by more than I even care to count, and the whole first floor of the house collapsed into the basement. No way.
That's so scary.
What the heck?
Yeah. Can you imagine just like the whole floor?
Just gone.
Everyone.
Everyone's going down.
Yep.
911 was called, and there was a gas leak as well. Oh, even better. It was a mess. I think there were upwards of 150 to 200 kids there, about 10 of them being my athletes.
Of course.
I saw it on the news before I got into work and thought it was ridiculous, and then found out my kids were there too.
Yep.
Thankfully, my kiddos didn't sustain major injuries. Most were minor cuts and bruises, along with just being sore.
Well, yeah, they literally just fell a story. Yeah.
I think my worst one was maybe whiplash. I had a few ankle sprains and deep contusions as well. If I remember correctly, one kid who was a student at a different local school was seriously hurt and almost lost his leg due to the injuries he sustained. What the heck? I guess, you know what? I mean, you don't really think of like your floor in your house having a max weight limit.
No.
But apparently it does.
Yeah. That's not something that
to 200 kids,
dude, all in one spot. So next time that you invite 150 to 200 people over, just remember you should probably do it outside
or test the weight limit of your house to make sure that's acceptable. That's wild.
So I feel like this kind of lends,
I feel like that one has to take it now.
I feel like they all, like, each in their individual ways, you're they like, do. Oh, this one. And then you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
this
but
one.
This one,
and
then like, you're like, destroyed a house,
oh, dude. And 10 athletes, like 10 of our athletes.
They almost blew up the house.
Blew down the house.
Well, they blew down and almost blew up, too.
Oh, true, with the gas leak.
With the gas leak.
Insane. I'm surprised that, like, most everyone was okay.
True.
Everyone landed on each other.
Yeah, probably. Well, that's probably what happened. The kid, the kid that almost lost the limb probably had a crush injury, and that's probably why.
Oof.
Which is already dangerous.
Right. Ugh.
That's crazy.
Have you ever had an athlete lie to you about how they got hurt?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, you're lying.
No,
you,
because I
you are lying.
No, I think they've all kind of at least fessed up that, like, all right, here's what happened.
So they did lie and then they fessed up.
Yeah, but eventually I got the truth out of it.
Actually, we had someone who said, actually, no, my athletes tell me the entire truth and then I have to figure out how to tell coach.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, I've had an athlete like keep me regularly updated on her cycle. So, like, they're usually pretty comfortable telling me pretty much everything.
You create a safe space.
I do, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, they feel safe enough to not even lie about how they got hurt. Usually, it's they give me the look. That look of just, so this was really stupid. Because they know I'm not going to judge. I just want to know. I just want to know the truth.
Well, you're part of the 2% of people who said no, they have not had an athlete.
Yes.
Lie to them about how they got hurt. So Christina said she had a men's volleyball player who needed stitches from hitting his head on a ceiling fan at a party. He was drunk at this party. It was a crowded room. The quickest way across was to walk on the dining room chairs.
Makes sense.
That was not the original way he described the injury, by the way. He said it was from hitting the net pole at a beach volleyball game. And I was like, what actually happened? Because your wound angle does not work for that.
That's bad. Come on. Dude, just, like, I don't understand. Just own it.
Yeah.
Just own it. We're not going to judge.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to think it's probably a little funny, but we're not going to judge.
Right, right.
Like, I think they forget, like, we were college students, too.
Yeah, but you were.
Yeah, exactly. We're old now.
You just don't get it,
Randy. I don't get it, even though I'm pretty hip to the lingo.
Mm-hmm.
It's bussin'.
Yes.
I stay hip with the young crowd.
You want to slay this next story?
On God. All right, this one's by Erica W. I work at a high school, and this seems to happen pretty often. A basketball athlete came into my office saying his knee was hurting from practice. While evaluating his knee, one of his friends asked, "What happened?" He replied, "I was trying to jump over the bench in the locker room. I slipped and hit my knee on a locker." From across the room, I said, that's what that noise was. My office shares a wall with the boys' locker room. He looked over to me with wide eyes and said, "Sorry, I thought I'd get in trouble."
Yeah.
You won't.
I've definitely, like, one of our ATRs is right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it has a door to the locker room.
Yeah.
And, I definitely hear how loud it gets.
Oh, it gets rowdy.
Yep. And I'm like, ooh, there is some stuff going on in there that I will probably hear about later.
Someone's going to come in and need something.
Or just people are going to be put in the laundry bin. It's fine.
And get hurt.
Yep.
Doing so.
I actually had a baseball kid who stepped over our bench. I shared the story recently, but he stepped over, like, the bench in the dugout. And he, like, cut his shin, and he didn't think much of it. But then he was, like, looking down, and he was like, ooh, this actually, maybe I should go get this looked at. He comes in the athletic training room and is like, hey, like, I stepped over the bench. I scraped my shin. And I look down. There's a literal chunk of adipose tissue, like,
he filleted his leg,
coming out of his leg. It was a little pinhole, and so, like, I was able to, like, move his like tib anterior so that I could see probably a quarter of an inch deep.
Nice.
And I was like, dude, you're gonna need stitches. Like, I can close this up, but
you need more.
Like, that's yeah,
that's bad. Can't have that.
So then he was like, okay, well, do I have to get stitches right now or can I go take BP? And I was like, let me stereo strip it. You can go take BP. But you have to go, like, within 6 hours.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. And he did. He got stitches and it was all good. But
thank God.
Yep. Okay, so this next one is from actually my former co-head. And I think it's the first story we've gotten from her.
Nice.
I know. But it's probably because, like, I feel like I probably share all the stories.
Yeah. It's our dog, Stephanie. It's our dog. Hey, there's a new one.
Our dog Stephanie. There you go. Stephanie. Oh, we got a new one. You want to read?
Yes. So this one's by our dog Stephanie.
Now she's never going to submit a story.
We've scared her off. I was working in the athletic training clinic, and in walks in one of my cross country runners. Yep, there you go. Right there. That's it. That's the story right there.
Yeah, that's it.
I walk over and ask her, "What's up?" She looks at me and says, "I think I have a concussion." All right, you probably do now. Now, I know she is a cross-country runner and shouldn't necessarily be doing anything that could get her a concussion.
Right.
So I ask, "Really? Why do you say that?" To which she replies, "Well, I hit my head and now I have a headache." I can tell she doesn't necessarily want to mention how she got her concussion, so of course I follow up with, "How'd you hit your head?" She then, of course, says, "I'll tell you, but you can't laugh."
As soon as you hear that.
Yes. Now, I know I'm in for a good story. Here's her explanation. "I was walking over here from the dorms for practice, and I was texting on my phone. I wasn't paying attention to where I was going, and I ended up walking into a stop sign." Classic.
Oh, gosh.
At this point, I give the little, "Oh, no," while kind of laughing, but only because she was also laughing. Then she says, "Yeah, and there was also an ambulance driving around the school parking lot, and I'm pretty sure they watched me walk into the sign."
Oh, man.
At this point, we are both full on laughing. She was a great sport about the whole thing, and after we got that out of the way, I completed a full concussion eval. I guess this was a great reminder that we shouldn't text and walk.
Dude, Stephanie will understand that we literally had so many concussions at once. Yeah. It was the semester from hell.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually had multiple cross-country concussions.
Right. Actually,
you wouldn't think so.
I don't.
I had an athlete sustain one falling during a race.
Oh, wow.
And
it actually happened during cross country?
During cross country, she fell and her head basically caught someone's elbow.
Oh, my gosh. How unlucky.
How unlucky. Concussed.
I had a cheerleader who was running outside of the baseball practice.
Uh-huh.
And not on the field, but outside the field, and someone hit a home run and
it found her.
Yep.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, what are the odds?
What are the odds? That's pretty. I think that person should have bought a lotto ticket.
Yes. I actually really like this next one.
Okay.
It's kind of sad.
Great. Sweet. Okay, go for it.
Well, it has to do with the concussion.
Okay. Well, I mean, all these injuries
are really
sad.
It's like a stupid reason, and then you end up getting a concussion.
Well, yeah, these are injuries. They are sad.
Okay. So a baseball player came to me with symptoms of a concussion. This is anonymous, by the way.
Okay.
Headache, dizziness, and said he saw stars. He said he was in the locker room and accidentally slipped and might have hit his head. I spent about 10 minutes trying to get a clear story, but it just wasn't adding up. I called coach to see if maybe something happened to him and his teammates. I was thinking maybe someone was bullying him or he got hurt on the field and he just didn't want to say. I called his mom and let her know what was going on and maybe she can get a better story. After the doctor's appointment, mom called and said he threw a ketchup packet at a teammate and his teammate slapped him. He missed his first baseball game because he had to do the return to play protocol with me. Mom was not happy.
I could safely assume mom wasn't happy about that.
He kind of had it coming, but also...
No, he for sure had it coming. Why? Why throw the ketchup packet?
We're at the very tail end.
All right, here we go.
We have three more.
Lock in.
Okay, so this next one is kind of goes along the lines of have you ever had someone get injured and it end up being something completely different than what you were expecting?
Okay.
We actually got a lot of ACLs for this one, and
I can see that.
Yes,
I can see that.
Yeah. Also, this one is a one-sided. 99% of people said yes, 1% said no. And all these polls have over 100.
But you know what? I think that really shows that, like, real practice, like, real life is different than the book at times.
Right. Right. I want to know what the 1% no was. Like, man, you just have by-the-book injuries, I guess.
That's nice.
I know. So anyway, this is anonymous. They said, I had a men's soccer player who was on defense and just put his foot out in the air to block a pass. A ball hit his foot while it was in the air. I figured it was maybe like an MCL, but he presented with lateral joint pain while being highly guarded about it, about extending and flexing his knee. Turns out he had a bucket handle meniscus tear due to the force of the ball causing excessive external tibial rotation.
Yeah, you don't hear that one very often.
Never heard of an open chain bucket handle meniscus tear MOI.
Honestly, I don't think I've really even seen a meniscus tear open chain. Like, I feel like it's always right. It's always planted and there's right. a pivot. Like, that's a big, mm-hmm. strong mechanism for that. So, mm-hmm. like, wow, that's crazy.
Right? Open chain.
That sucks.
Unexpected for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there has been, but I don't think it's been like anything crazy
mm-hmm.
that like the mechanism didn't just quite add up and end up being something else. You're kind of like, oh, well, the mechanism really didn't say that. I mean, I know it has.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Off the top of your
there
head?
There was nothing that was that memorable.
I have one that's insanely memorable because, and I share this all the time. It's my freaking baseball player.
Oh, yeah.
Who took a pitch to his shoulder. It bounced off his shoulder, hit his thumb.
Yeah.
And he fractured his thumb.
Yeah. That one's crazy.
And he literally, like, axial load, negative, like, literally everything, like, point tender, negative. The only thing he complained about was that he felt like rattling when he was hitting. But like, that's a common thing. So like, we just added, like, we put a little pro hitter, which, by the way, I just figured out what a pro hitter was like recently before that. So we actually, I didn't even have any pro hitters on me. So then I just made one.
You made one.
And I was able to stop his rattling. That's so cool. Like, fine.
Boom.
Yeah. He had no swelling. So it was just like such an odd thing. And he came to me Monday morning, was like, he showed me the x-ray and I was like, no freaking way.
Yeah. That was a very interesting one.
No freaking way.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't really think of one like that.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
So this one I did ask about, if you ever go back and watch the video.
Sometimes,
to watch like MOIs.
If they have it, I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Most people said they actually do. I was surprised by that because I kind of thought it was going to be more split.
Yeah. I don't know if I really hunted down.
That's what some people said. They're like, usually the athletes just come in and show me.
Yeah. A lot of times that's what happens.
Yeah.
I like to see it. They'll ask, like, oh, do you want to see it? I'm like, oh, heck yeah.
Oh, right, right. Usually the coaches will be like, hey, you want me sending you that? And I'm like, yeah, but then they forget.
Yeah. Classic.
But like, they ask.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They thought about it.
I usually end up getting it from the athletes unless I just get it from like our YouTube. For if it's like a game.
I mean, I've asked coaches like, "Hey, what happened to this kid?"
Right.
Right, like if it's if they're kind of like kind of weird about their story or like the way they described it, I'm like, "Okay, wait, what really happened?" Like did someone actually see what happened?
I've had a coach who literally swore up and down that this kid was lying. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I was like, I'm pretty sure it happened at practice. And he's like, he didn't pull himself from practice. He didn't come to you. He didn't like.
We're not like accusing you of anything. We're just saying that we think it happened here.
Like, no, I know it happened at home. I know that he went to a party or something. I'm like,
I don't know.
No. I think he's telling the truth.
I did give one of my athletes a hard time because it was a non-contact injury. And when I went on the court, like he was saying ACL, but like at the time I didn't really feel a super weird endpoint. Like, it actually felt mm-hmm. okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was complaining. Like, he was like, oh, yeah, like, I felt my knee go, like, out, like mm-hmm. lateral.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, whatever, I did some tests. And, yeah, it kind of felt weird, but, like, everything else felt all right. I'm like, oh, okay, like, well, probably, like, LCL. Like, that kind of looks kind of weird. And, like, eventually it was, you know, ACL. But then he shows me the video, and you can see a valgus collapse. He's like, oh, I guess it didn't go out. I'm like, yeah, you're a liar. So I gave him a hard time about that one. I was like, yeah, you're a liar, dude. You don't even know what you're feeling.
Right, right.
He's like, I could have sworn it went out. Like, okay.
You're like, mm-hmm.
Well, it went in. That would have helped me.
Right. Okay, so this one's just, like, random.
Oh, okay, wait. Before we go into that, one more about scene video.
Okay.
We actually had a visiting team for women's basketball. And, like, where I was, I didn't get a great view of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could tell she landed really weird and it was very forceful. So I knew, like, it was bad. And again, anytime you hear the, you already know, oh gosh, it's going to be bad. So I already was prepped. Okay, this is significant. And obviously she's in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So people, like, literally, I'm starting to walk and people were trying to wave me. I'm like, dude, I'm already moving. I'm already heading there.
Right.
And whatever, right? Take care of her, right? Again, she was one I was worried. Okay, like, I'm a little worried about her ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And we were live streaming the games. So afterwards, our sports information guy actually came and was like, hey, do you want to see it? I'm like, actually, yes. Like, I didn't get a good look. And, oh, yeah. Like, basically, her knee pretty much made, like, a 45-degree angle into valgus.
Mm.
Like, it's not supposed to go that much.
No.
So I was like, oh, yeah, there's some damage there.
Oof. So you want to talk about someone who actually got, who did not get hurt?
Oh, okay.
So this
is good news.
Literally another one of those one-sided 99%. Yes, I've seen someone who looked they got hurt but walked away unscathed. 1% no.
Yeah.
Cassie C said, I had a men's soccer athlete running full speed down the field get slide tackled. He did a full 360 flip in the air and landed completely unscathed.
Wow.
The ref even called an injury timeout as soon as it happened. I have never run onto the field so fast to get to him and have him laughing because he couldn't believe he was absolutely fine. He landed flat on his stomach, LOL. No soreness or anything. The true definition of looked worse than it was.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yes.
Again, you have those ones where, like, you're like, oh, that can't be good, and they're fine.
Right. Right.
It's wild.
I feel like mechanism tells you so much, but sometimes you're just like,
sometimes it's lying.
You are just a miracle child.
Yeah.
Also, this one's just like, this is our last one, actually. This one's just like funny weird.
Oh, okay.
Anonymous says, I had a wrestler claim he got bit by his teammate. So we had to go back and verify by film before disqualifying him. They called me in as third party to verify.
This is serious. We have a third party involved.
Right. I do not know why I was supposed to be the third party on that one, but it was an obvious bite. You could see the teeth indentations and it lined up perfectly, top and bottom teeth. It was a wild, wild day. It did not thankfully break the skin. The poor kid who had been bitten had already spent enough time with us. He had to get an eyebrow laceration stitched the previous night and covered for the day of wrestling. So I am thankful that this did not result in any further injury.
Poor kid.
Right?
That sucks.
Right. So there you go. There are odd mechanisms of injury.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Figure that would be a good one for National Athletic Training Month. And it's a little bit of a longer episode, so.
It was. Well, of pure comedy.
For real.
And animal sounds.
You know we're good for that.
And we did the
At
farm
least
animals.
Half of us are good for that.
You make sounds.
Yeah, totally.
You don't want to do an animal sound?
I'll leave you guys guessing.
Okay.
So if you've made it this far and you're still new, we do every other episode as education or stories. This one was a story episode. Next story episode will be in 2 weeks. So we are probably thinking of doing transition practice. I was thinking that
that's
might be
a good one.
That might be a good athletic training.
I feel like we haven't
one.
Done it in a while.
Yeah.
We have some new students probably around, some newly certified.
And it's March. I feel like this is the time. It's like the people time. About to graduate. This is a good like.
Yeah. And I just had one of my students tell me that she signed up for the BOC for the end of the month.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. I was excited for her. She didn't seem that excited. I was like, all right, sweet. Congrats. She's like, yeah. I'm like, you'll be fine.
So we do every other episode as education or stories. This one was a story episode, like we said. Next week, we are going back to our education episodes, which will be... Do you have a topic yet?
TBD. It's a mystery.
You'll find out next week.
Wow.
So stay tuned for that. We will post that on our Instagram stories for you guys to submit stories. Again, that Facebook group is facebook.com/group/ATCornerPodcast, where you can find anything from this episode and some other cool, fun stuff. We are working with MedBridge, so if you guys are looking for CEUs.
It's never too early to start.
Yes.
And you get it for a year.
Use code ATCorner. It's really cool. We have a MedBridge that we like to go on, and it's super easy to learn new things. So
super dope.
Yeah, use it. Code ATCorner for $150 off. And there's so many more cool things in the show notes. Just scroll down so you don't have to listen to me for the next 3 minutes doing the little fine print. So, got anything else?
Nope, that was perfect. Thank you for helping us showcase athletic training behind the tape. Bye.